Lord, help us to be still for a moment as we draw near to hear your word. Help us to just take a few seconds to remind ourselves of why we are gathered here today, to listen. And God, speak to us even through the background noise of the world and the life and all the busyness that we have around us. Lord, in this short time together, open our ears and our eyes to see your vision for our lives, this place, and our part within it. Teach us, Lord, to hear and listen to you and see the guidance that you have for us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I need to talk about a number of things as I begin. First of all, I'm glad to be back after my break, and it's nice to see all the smiling faces, and most of them are smiling, I think, anyway. That's good. As I was reflecting on this particular Sunday, I was reminded in looking through notes and different references and whatnot that Wednesday, and I didn't talk to the kids about it directly, but I'll talk to them next week about what they did maybe. Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, isn't just Halloween, it's Reformation Day. And that makes today Reformation Sunday. Probably a term I know I've used here in the past, but maybe not one that's openly kind of in the forefront of our mind. Many churches will be singing "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God" on a Sunday such as this. It's a day of celebration for us in our Protestant tradition, and that's Protestants, if you want to pronounce it that way, tradition. And it's a day of celebrating, as I said, Reformation. And it fixes this this to the last Sunday of October. And it's not just a historical event that took place a long time ago, in 1517 to be specific. It's leading us, maybe if we think of it in that context, something that happened a long time ago in 1517, it was then and it's done, but it's not really just completed. What happened on that particular day in 1517, Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses for debate to the cathedral door in Wittenberg, Germany. Now, this wasn't something unique just to him. This was something often done. When people had things they wanted to discuss openly in public, they would often nail their thoughts written out onto the door, and particularly in this church. Martin Luther was a Catholic priest. Martin Luther was quite upset with the number of things that were taking place in the church that he loved, in the faith that he was living. And he had 95 items in particular that he wanted to address. And the probably the biggest one, and I've mentioned this a few Sundays ago, was the fact that you could buy your way out of purgatory. And priests, and this was ordained or authorized by the Pope at the time, and priests were making a killing, to put it bluntly, on this. Anybody who might be going to purgatory, anybody who was in purgatory in their thoughts, could see. I need to explain a little bit. When you died, if you were a really good person, as far as the Catholic beliefs at the time were, if you died, you would go directly to the presence of God. But if you had committed a lot of sins, you went to purgatory. If you committed some really bad sins, well, you went to the other place. But purgatory was a holding place until you were kind of cleaned up enough to go to the presence of God. Martin Luther, first of all, couldn't find any of that in Scripture, so he had a problem with that. That was in his theses. But he also had a problem with the fact that priests had developed this way of payment, these indulgences, as they were called. You could buy a certificate that kind of shortened the time period that your loved one or you yourself would be in purgatory. And he said, this is not scriptural. And he put these on the door for debate. Martin Luther didn't want to leave the Catholic Church. He wanted to reform the Catholic Church. He wanted to make the church that he was a part of more adherent to what he was seeing in Scripture. Interesting thing is that these 95 different items that he pointed out, the Catholic Church since 1517 has actually brought many of them into practice actively, even though they excommunicated Martin Luther. And as we know, the Lutheran Church came from that directly, but the Protestant Church in general, the people who were protesting these changes, that's who we are today. It's one of the main separating things between the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church, a line that's becoming very fuzzy in our modern time. Today, we remember that because it's important for us also to understand another notion, something that, again, theologically had developed over time as far as the Catholic Church was concerned, and Martin Luther also took issue with. No one could come to the presence of God except through the priest. So often, really, what happened as far as the church services were concerned, there was no active participation from the congregation. In Martin Luther's day, in the Catholic Church, you didn't sing, for instance. The choir sang, and they were very professional at the time. Not that you guys are not professional, but you're not paid. And these people would have been paid to do what they were doing. They, in other words, everything from the end of this step out was just like sitting in a theater, for the most part. All the action took place up here. We've changed the front of our church compared to the Catholic Church back then, and I'm not going to get into all that detail, but we've changed it, so we're losing some of that aspect of it. But the communion table would have been at the back, and all of that during communion, it all would have happened back behind the choir, and all this mystery that was there, and you watched, more or less, what was happening. When you came for communion, you would come to hear. Because again, you're not actively participating, you're observing. So you're going to come to here and receive the elements because they're not going to leave this sanctuary area. I heard someone describe just this week, the area where you're sitting for right now is traditionally called the nave. And it relates to the same word as naval, as in a ship. And if you pretend that this building was upside down, that's the bottom of the ship and you can see it. It's got all the spars and everything else. So this was the place where the people of God sailed into God's presence. There's a lot of meaning in all of these phrases that come up. But this up here was the sanctuary. We don't refer to it that. We all call this whole building the sanctuary in that sense. But only this space up here was. You weren't permitted to come up here. I, as the priest, was the go-between. I, as the priest, was the only link you had to God. Now, in 1517, I don't think I have to check my dates, but the Gutenberg Bible hadn't been printed just yet. Those of you who are historical people, you might be able to debate that. But it was around that time when it happened. But my point is, you didn't even have a Bible in your hands. The only Bible that existed was the one up here. So you didn't even read the Word of God on your own. You listened to it as it was read from this pulpit or the lecture. The stand over there. Everything was done by the priests. Martin Luther said, wait a second, we need to be coming to God ourselves. We are saved by God's grace alone. You see that in Romans. And the reason that I connect to the Hebrews reading that we had today was saying that Jesus is replacing that priestly role. We come before God directly through Christ. It's on this day that that change took place in the way that we understand our beliefs. It's this date in 1517 on October 31st, this coming Wednesday actually, that all of these things shifted. We take it for granted because we believe that this is how church has been done since the very beginning, and it hasn't been. Martin Luther changed that for all of us in that sense. And it has gone from there. Martin Luther had trouble understanding all of this. He didn't just come up with these ideas and nail them up on a wall. He struggled with scriptures like we find in Hebrews. He struggled with scriptures and asked the very question in that sense that Jesus asks of Bartimaeus. He wanted to understand what it meant when God is saying, "What can I do for you?" That triggered something in his mind. Not that particular scripture, but that whole notion. God wanted to do something directly for you, me, all of us. It didn't go through the priest alone. We weren't here merely as observers. We are participants in the grace of God. We are participants in that free grace given to us that we can come up here, so to speak, into the sanctuary. So I think it's good in that sense that we don't refer to this space out here as the nave traditionally. I mean, we sometimes do. But that this whole place is the sanctuary, because you, sitting where you are truly in the sanctuary of God, in the presence of God. It's not all up to me as the leader, as the priest, as the minister. We are all equal participants in the grace of God. Luther read in Romans, "Therefore no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law we will become conscious of sin. But now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus." Lots of words there, but there's a difference in the way he saw his faith being worked out in the church that he was attending and the scriptures that he was reading. We come to God directly ourselves through that redeeming act of Christ. It is Jesus that changes us. When Jesus asked Bartimaeus, "What is it I can do for you?" Bartimaeus had something specific, but in the bigger picture of things, "Save us, Lord." And Jesus does that for us. We no longer have to go through any proper channels, if you like. We come before God by the grace of God through that act of sacrifice that's mentioned in Hebrews. The interesting thing about the priestly description in Hebrews is that the priests were humans, just like us, and that they couldn't be a priest all the time because, well, they died, because they got old and died. But Jesus lives forever. It's also described in that reading in Hebrews that the priest would, in the temple, offer a sacrifice for himself so that he first could be clean, and then offered a sacrifice for the people that had brought things to be sacrificed so that they could be clean, so to speak, and come before God. As it says in Hebrews, Jesus doesn't have to do that. It's already been done. And as Romans tells us, we just need to accept that grace freely given. You are saved by grace, in faith, through faith, in Jesus. And this is the heart of the Protestant tradition. It is the heart of the gospel, as Martin Luther has seen it, and as we understand it even to this day. But what does it truly mean in so many ways? Well, I think, like Bartimaeus, he struggled with something in his life. It was blindness. It's something physically that was limiting him in his life. And I believe we all have those things in our lives. We have fears. We have worries. We do have physical limitations. We have all sorts of things going on in our lives that we want to come before God. And Jesus is asking all of us this very morning, "What is it that I can do for you?" You don't need to go through anybody. You can talk to me directly. Jesus offers us new life and offers us His joy and His freedom, whatever that may be, for the needs that we have. And it's important to understand this, in my mind, as we weekly come and pray for other people that we know. We pray for people who are in need in this congregation as well. It is Jesus that offers this change, this healing, this grace through faith. Jesus is asking us today, asking you and me today, "What do you want me to do for you?" It is a question that describes really how we come before God. It explains the hope that we have in this life and in the next. Jesus is the answer for all of it. He alone is the person, the mechanism, if you like, the intermediary, in other words, that connects us to our God ultimately. It is Jesus that guides us in our day-to-day steps. For we gain nothing in our salvation by our actions alone, which is what Martin Luther was complaining about, by our works, by our purchasing of indulgences. It is His work that makes the difference. It is His work as that high priest and healer that we've read about in Hebrews and with that demonstration of Jesus' healing in Mark. Jesus is truly asking all of us, you and me both alike, what do you want me to do for you? How can I show my grace in your life? And our answer to that question is, guide me, Lord. Heal me, Lord. Take me, Lord. Amen. The Lord is indeed good, for God has blessed us very richly in so many ways. This is the time now when we offer back a portion of that in gratitude and love shown by our offerings. Now is the time for our offerings and tithes.